This morning I studied for about an hour and a half trying to finalize in John chapter 17 in verse number 5. I can't get out of those first five verses in my personal study time. So when the Lord does allow me to preach that, y'all better buckle up. But there's so much there that I have never seen before. And I thank the Lord for His living Word. We're in Joshua chapter number 10. This morning, and I was just praying. I was praying on the way here. I wish that I could tell you and explain to you, but there's sometimes you just know that it doesn't matter what you've studied. This is what the Lord would have you to preach, and so I try and align more with the Lord than what I study. Lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him. Amen. Putting that in practice, and so Joshua chapter number 10. I want to add something to Miss Natalie's commercial that she did earlier concerning pastor appreciation. We will have Brother Todd next Sunday and Brother Canaan the following Sunday. And they don't know this yet, but Brother Todd will be preaching next Sunday morning. Brother Canaan will be preaching that morning. Amen. They just found that out. Amen. So provided you don't already have an appointment somewhere. I got kind of scared. I don't know if y'all have ever talked to Brother Canaan, but he has no facial expressions. And so because of that. See, still none. He's like, I ain't giving you none now, especially since you done said something. But I do appreciate both of those men. The ministries that happen at Gateway Baptist Church could not happen without them in the place. And so I don't know if you guys realize, I realize that I'm the guy you see every Sunday morning. I'm the face. I'm the name on the sign. I understand that. But I don't know if you guys realize how much work they do behind the scenes. And what they organize and what they do and how important they are to our church. So if you're wondering whether or not they're worthy of your appreciation, they absolutely are. And I encourage you to do something sweet for them personally, individually. Find out what their favorite restaurants are. Buy them dinner somewhere. And of course, there ain't nothing wrong with some good old-fashioned cash. Amen. You can use that anywhere. Amen. All right, let me hush. Joshua chapter number 10 and verse number 7 is where we'll begin reading. The Bible says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal. Bear with me. He and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah. And they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still unto Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still. Can I read that again? And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you have given us. I thank you for the people that are here, that are gathered under one roof, Lord, to hear your word. I pray, God, that you would help. I pray that you would give me the right words to say. I pray that you would strengthen, uplift, and encourage in only the way that you can. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm just a willing mouthpiece, Lord, just a vessel. And I pray, God, that as I preach, that it would help your people. God, give us your wisdom. Bless our ministries. Lord, thank you for our pastoral staff. Thank you for Brother Todd and Brother Canaan and what they do and what they mean. I pray, God, that you would help them, that you would continue to work through their lives and use them, Lord, for your honor and your glory. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to preach to you today on what God did for Joshua when he prayed. What God did for Joshua when he prayed. Now, we just read an incredible miracle that only God could produce. In verse 12, Joshua prayed and God granted the request in an unusual fashion. God answered Joshua's specific prayer. God fought for Israel in verse number 11. We are instructed to pray. We are encouraged to pray. And we are enabled to pray. And yet we know little about prayer. I think that we're in a dangerous place in the United States of America because of our lack of prayer. God has not changed. God is the same God that He's always been. He's affirmed that to us in Scripture. Malachi 3 and 6 said, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." James 1:17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. The Lord is the same as He was when He did this incredible thing for Joshua. The Lord is the same as He was when He did the other incredible acts that we read about and the incredible things that He did in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But Christians do not call on the name of the Lord. We call on a lot of other people. We call on our friends when we get in trouble. We'll call on the police should we need them. We'll call on doctors and nurses. And we'll call on a myriad of other resources before we will pray. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to first come to Him in prayer so that every good gift that we get, every perfect gift can be from Him, so that we can say, "Hey, God did it, not I did it, or not a man did it, but God made this happen." That way God gets the glory. So I'd like to look at this Old Testament story and take note of the God that we serve and His behavior toward prayer. I think we'll see something pretty interesting. If there was anything that I could encourage you to do, it would be to pray. Just the other day, I prayed that the Lord would meet a specific need, and within an hour or so, I got a phone call taking care of that need. The Lord is well able to meet your need, and the Lord is well able to sustain you in your life and to help you. You've just got to learn how to not rely on yourself, but to rely on Him. I quoted it loosely just a little while ago, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We got Christians out here walking around trying to figure things out, trying to get this in a row, trying to get that taken care of. All the while, they don't take into consideration that God's got it all laid out, got everything figured out for them. All they've got to do is put their faith and trust in Him. This is the incredible God we serve who stopped the sun here for Joshua. So the first thing, and I don't know exactly how long I'll be today, I'm just going to obey the Lord. How about that? The Lord did something completely unreasonable for Joshua. Look back with me at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And the sun stood still. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen the sun stand still. There's been some days that I've been working outside and I didn't know if the sun was passing slower because it felt so hot. But I've also seen those shadows grow when the sun comes up over at our house. It comes up with our house, it faces the sunrise, and the backside of the house faces the sunset, and we can tell as the shadows grow. Man, in the early morning hours, I got an oak tree out there, and that sun comes up and it casts a nice shade right up there on the front porch, and then probably about 11 o'clock, 10, 11 o'clock, man, it's so hot out there in the front yard, you can't stand it, but it's nice and cool in the backyard. And as the day wears on and the sun goes across the sky, those shadows change. And there's never been a time that I've seen the sun stop and stay in a specific place. And yet here the Word of God tells us that an unreasonable, unlogical thing happened to protect God's children. The sun stood still and the moon stayed. You might say that God stopped the world. Until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies, is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. This event that took place in Scripture is completely unreasonable when we think about it. It's so unreasonable that in our minds it causes us to think there's no way that that could happen because we've not seen that happen. But this is where faith comes in to your Scripture reading. See, if I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and I believe for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, then I must believe when the Bible says, and the sun stood still. The gift of the Word of God we don't get to pick and choose which Scripture we decide is worthy of our belief. This entire book is good. It's profitable for reproof and for doctrine and for instruction in righteousness, is what Paul told us. Amen. And so if I believe that God created the earth and I believe that God saved my soul and can save anybody, then I must believe that God has the power to stop the earth and stop the sun and stop the moon and stop the stars. If it means that I or you or the children of Israel are to be protected. Amen. I'm not sure why that we read it in the Word of God and then we think that because God did the unreasonable, He won't do the unreasonable continually. See, God here operated outside of human comprehension. I like when God operates outside of human comprehension. See, the Lord, I don't know if you know this yet or not, but God is not confined by your idea of what God is. He's not confined, nor is He defined by what your idea of God is. He is so much greater, so much more powerful that He doesn't have to seek my approval or your approval or anybody else's approval to operate in the way that He deems best in our life. Amen? He's well able to do exceeding abundantly, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, but this passage of Scripture that is as unreasonable as it is, we see God outside of our comprehension. He's operating in an area that we don't understand or a realm that we can't comprehend. And we look at it, see, if the Israelites would have been there, all they saw was the battle. All they saw was the fight. All they saw was the enemy. They didn't see the God up in heaven, amen, that had everything under control and was able to look down and say, sunshine, stand still. I don't want you to move until this battle's... Did y'all catch that? I don't think that we realize that God is able to work on our behalf. We think He's some distant creature that's off into Neverland and we don't know where He's at, and we think we can't find Him and we can't see Him. Job said, I looked beside me and He wasn't there. I looked behind me and didn't see Him either. I looked ahead of me and couldn't see Him working. There's only one way for Him to look for Him. He had to look up, glory to God. And when he did, he realized that God was already working in his life. Child of God, why don't you just go ahead and pray for something unreasonable? I don't know if God will do that. Well, you might be right. But if you was to say, I believe God will do that, I can almost assure you that He'll do it because He wants the glory. God is a jealous God. You go ahead and pray outside of reason. Genesis 18:14, the Bible asks, is there anything too hard for God? Here's the problem. It's not that anything's too hard for God. It's that you think that something is too hard for God. Oh, preacher, I got this situation I'm facing. I've got this work thing I got dealing with. Here's what happens. We allow the problems and the things of life to become so big in our life. We turn molehills into mountains. Amen. The Bible says that the clouds are the dust of the Lord's feet, that the earth is His footstool. He is not taken aback or caught off guard or taken by surprise by the things that so easily beset us. No, friend of mine, God is sat on His throne and He's able to do the unreasonable things in your life, the things that don't make sense, the things that you think He can't do. God is able to do those things. Preacher, my family's tore apart. I don't know if you put it back together. It seems unreasonable, but He'll do it. Amen. Preacher, my kids as rebellious as the day is long. I don't know how in the world to get something, get a hold of them. You let Him take care of it. Amen. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got this work project coming up. I don't understand how I'm going to make it through this. Why don't you put it in the Lord's hands? Watch God move. He'll do something that's completely unreasonable to the world and get your attention, leave you standing there in awe. See, that's another thing. We've lost our awe for God. We've lost the AWE for God. We've lost the ability to look at Him and say, wow, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. That's why we don't believe He'll answer our prayers. Yes. That's why we get hung up in thinking something's too hard for God, because we've lost the ability to look at Him with an all attitude. Oh my, God is great. God is able. God is big. God is willing. Instead, we just shock our heads and say, I don't know. And girls got to singing last Sunday, I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. This is what I'm talking about. God's well able to meet your need. You just hang on that unreasonable prayer. You ever told somebody a prayer request and they go, you stinking hypocrite, you playing a part. Man or woman has a prayer request and you laugh at it like it ain't going to happen. You akin to Sarah. Nay, but thou didst laugh. We forget about that, don't we? She has passed her time, well up into years. Abraham wanted a son. God wanted to give him an heir. God produced an heir through Sarah by Abraham after they had already tried their way. Sometimes we get a little bit of a Sarah syndrome when somebody tells us a prayer request that they've got for God, and we laugh. Oh, we'll laugh at what God wants us to do or God's plan for our life. Friend of mine, God does the unreasonable in the lives of Christians. God does the unreasonable because there is nothing that is too hard for Him to take care of. You won't find a trial that you'll go through that He ain't already brought you through. You won't find a heartache so great that He can't mend your broken heart. Is there no balm in Gilead? There is a balm in Gilead. There's a place, there's a salve for your hurting heart. There's help for your troubled soul. There's grace for your need that you have need of. There is the perfecting of the saints, or sanctification, if I can say it like that, of the child of God, that as you grow, the Lord takes care of you. But it might take you asking some unreasonable things of God. God did the unreasonable with Joshua. God did something unique. He stopped the sun. He stopped the sun. I don't know who the oldest person is in this room, but I'll tell you one thing you ain't never seen. You've never seen the sun stopped. You've had some long days, you've had some hard days, but you've never seen something so unique as what we're reading in Scripture right here this morning, that God stopped the sun. We don't read of Him doing it anywhere else or anything else like this. It was tailored to fit Joshua's specific need. Now, we serve a God who operates outside of what we understand, but we also serve a God who tailor makes things for our needs. We read about that in Genesis chapter number 3. The Bible says this, that Adam and Eve had sinned, and they had sinned against God. And as they sinned against God and they come back to the Lord, the Bible says that God made them coats of skins. Blood had to be sacrificed. The price had to be paid. But God tailor-made. See, that coat of skin that wrapped around Adam's body would have been a little too big for Eve. Y'all still with me? And that coat of skin that He made and wrapped around Eve and her needs would have been too small to wrap around Adam. But God, in His infinite mercy and in His wisdom, protected them from all that they would go through. It was tailor-made. It was unique to them. It was something that only fit them. I've been blessed to have just one tailored suit in my life. And maybe one day I will again. And I'm not asking for one. I'm just telling you about an experience. Please understand that. I'm just telling you about an experience. I had one tailor-made suit, and it was cut specifically for my body. I stood there on that little tailor pedestal, and they measured from there to there and from here to here and around there through here and down this side. And they took a little flat piece of soapstone or chalk or something, and he'd take that fabric and he'd get it right there. And he said, you like your pants leg like this? I said, no, man, I kind of like that cuff. He said, I got you. And he throwed that cuff. Now, y'all don't know this, but I'm not even sure you can preach real good if you ain't got a cuff on the bottom. I'm just kidding. Just joking, man. None of my guys got cuffs. Let me hush. That's me. That's out of me. That's not the Bible. But I told him what I wanted, and he cuffed it. It was a gray suit. And he come up the coat, and he got my coat, and he got everything tailored to fit my body. And the suit, I wore it so long, Josh, that it got threadbare. I had to get rid of it because the threads, you could see stuff coming out of my pockets. It had gotten so threadbare. And the coat was still in pretty good shape. And I had a guy, he was about my size, and I took that coat to him and I said, hey man, maybe you can get some use out of this. It served me real well for a long time. And he put it on, and you know what happened? It didn't fit. It was tailored for me. It was made to fit my arms. It was made to fit my chest. It was made to fit my neck. It was made to fit my back. It wasn't made for anybody else, but it was tailor-made specifically for what I needed, Kai, not for anybody else. That's the way God does with our prayers. Brother Todd, he's been praying for things that I don't pray for. You know why? Because he has a tailor-made prayer life for his life. Brother Canaan has prayer life, and his prayer life is tailor-made for his prayer life. And that same God that made coats of skins, amen, that same God that tailor-made a coat of skin and protection and help for Adam and Eve is the same God that we serve that takes you and I and hears our prayers and says, let me tailor-make this for what you stand in need of. He did something unique just for Joshua there that day. And you better believe, child of God, He's got the power when you pray to do something unique for you. God did this unique thing because Joshua prayed with unique faith. Yes, sir, I wonder. Luke chapter 17, verse number 6, Jesus said, "And the Lord said, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." I've never seen a tree be plucked up of its own accord and go to another place. I've seen tractors rip trees up out of the ground. I've seen storms damage trees and pull them up out of the ground. But I've never seen one get up and go. But God said that if I had the amount of faith of the size of a mustard seed, which would be about 1 millimeter or roughly a 1/16 of an inch in diameter, little bitty seed, that if I had that kind of faith, I could look at that sycamine tree and say, "Hey, get up," and it'd go. Now here's what's going to happen. Inevitably, somebody, you're going to go home this afternoon, you're going to look at that old dead shrub you don't want in front of your house no more, and you're going to say, "Holly bush, be plucked up," and it ain't going to move. Because that ain't faith. That's you wanting your own desires met. But faith is when you come in front of that mountain and it's the tallest thing you've ever seen, and you're standing in the shadow of the valley of death, or you're standing in the shadow of fierce fear or anger or anything, any of the emotions, and you're standing there and you need that thing moved, you've got to be able to say, "I see the mountain, but I know that the God I serve created that mountain. He's bigger than that mountain. He's bigger than that fear." Y'all okay? I'm not sure you're getting in with this with me. He's bigger than this problem. He's bigger than this heartache. He can handle it. That mountain just jump up and run in the midst of the sea where it gets swallowed whole. Isn't that amazing? We just got to have that faith that only God can instill in us. Now, can I tell you how that faith comes? If you're faithful over a few things, He make you ruler over many. Now, that doesn't mean that you just be faithful and He's going to put you on top of a kingdom. That's not what we're talking about here. It means He's going to give you more things to be faithful over. I can walk down this middle aisle too, can't I? I think He's still got me on camera. If not, they can still hear me. He can take that thing that I'm lacking faith in, that little thing, and when He does something for me, He grows my faith. So I get a little bit more faith. So He does a little thing that I trust Him with, and then when the mountain does come, I've got the amount of faith that I need to get the mountain moved. I don't know if the Lord will pay this bill for me. I don't know if the Lord will meet this need. I don't know if the Lord will take care of this physical ailment for me. I don't know if the Lord will work in my home. I don't know if the Lord will do these things. Friend of mine, God has a unique ability to do what you stand in need of. But you've got to have some unique faith when it comes to asking Him for it. I'm not talking about the faith you've had all along. Increase that faith. That's what the disciples prayed for. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, help us to believe. Help thou my unbelief. God did something unique. He did something unreasonable. He did something unparalleled in Joshua's life. Joshua had never seen God move like that. You take that in consideration, who we're talking about here. This is Joshua, captain of Israel, who come up under Moses. He had rehearsed in his ears how that he was called, how that Moses was called into service of the Lord by a burning bush that was not consumed. It had been rehearsed in Joshua's ears how, and it had been seen how that God had led the Hebrew children all through the wilderness. They had rehearsed in his ears, and maybe he had seen how that God brought them through the Red Sea. Hey, that is so incredible that also when we read about Rahab the harlot, y'all remember her? When the walls of Jericho came down, when we read about her, she told them. She didn't say, well, we've heard about how awesome God is and how that he worked in your church service. They said, we have heard how that he brought you across the Red Sea. Joshua had had that rehearsed in his ears all of his life. He had watched God bring water. He had seen God put manna out. He had watched God spare the Israelites after they had complained. He had went into the land flowing with milk and honey, and he had seen the goodness of God, and he went back and testified with Caleb that they were well able to take the land. Joshua had already believed God and had fought many battles, but he had never seen anything like this before. Joshua was able to complete the task ahead of him through God's power, not his power. You got this thing you come up to, you've got this difficulty you're dealing with, and you think, I just don't have the ability. And here's another thing that happens to us Christians. We get tired, and it's okay to be tired. And we get ready to throw in the towel. We say, I'm just done. I'm just done. There was an old prophet of God. His name was Elijah. And Elijah had just got done. He had went through a great battle. He had seen some incredible things, but he just got done. And so he sat down up under a juniper tree. And he got to pouting. Now I know us Christians, we don't ever do that. Baptists don't ever pout. We never do. We're spiritually above the Israelites, or so we believe. Elijah got down there and he got to pout and he said, I've done this wondrous thing. I served you faithfully, and now you just left me out here to die. God said, no. No, I got 7,000 that ain't bowed a knee to Baal's prophets, or ain't bowed a knee to Baal, and they're reserved in the land. You're not alone, Elijah. You're not on your own. And Elijah had to realize that it was through God's power and God's reserve that would enable Elijah to go on. And Elijah didn't have to die. He was caught up in a whirlwind, taken up out of the world. And Elisha saw it happen. And Elijah's coat, mantle, fell on Elisha. And Elisha had so much of the power of God on that God brought him through his life. And then even in Elisha's death, there was a man that was being buried, and some warriors were coming down the way, and the people that were burying the body threw him in there, and that body hit Elisha's bones. And the bones of Elisha had life in them. Do you get that? The bones of a dead man had the power of God in them. And Elisha's bones hit that body, and that man got up, and he took off running too. Isn't that something? It was unparalleled in his life what Joshua was seeing, as God had done other unparalleled things by his power in other prophets' lives. You say, preacher, what has that got to do with me and with my life and with where I'm at now? Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, I've often used it talking about heaven, but the Bible says, the book of Corinthians that I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is entered in the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him. And we often view that as heaven, or I have often viewed that as, we don't know what's coming, it's going to be good, we've never seen it, but you don't know what's coming tomorrow. And how much goodness God has already worked out for you in the next hour, in the next day, in the next month. And you think, man, all I see is the tunnel. All I see is the darkness. All I see is the heartache. All I see is the discouragement. All I see is the trouble. God sets above those things. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly according to the power. That's His power that worketh in us. And verse number 21, we must not forget, because it ain't what God does for us is not about us. Amen. What God brings us through is not about Him bringing us through those things. What God brings us through and does for us is not so that we can get something out of salvation, although we do. It's so that unto Him be glory. Watch this. In the church, God does something for you, you ought to come to church and say, let me tell you what God did for me. Wouldn't it be something if testimonies broke out every Sunday? Now, I ain't talking about the testimonies where you run God down, about how hard life is and how tough you got it right now. I'm talking about them testimonies where God brought glory to Himself and it changed your life, and you say, God did something totally unexpected in my life. Yeah. Now unto Him be glory in the church. In the church. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. What God did for Joshua when he prayed, God did something unparalleled, He did something unique, and He did something unreasonable. And here we are, thousands of years later, still preaching about the faithfulness of this same God. What do you stand in need of this morning? What do you have need of? Father, in Jesus' holy name, I come to You, Lord, as humbly.